Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. A lot of people probably watching this show believe in ghosts. And today's Bible story is kind of a ghost story. It's not really a ghost story, but the disciples think it's a ghost. And what we're going to learn from this story is, no matter what spooky thing you've got in your life, Jesus says, be not afraid. I'm bigger than any spooky thing in your life. Let's learn today about the day Jesus walks on the water and the disciples think it's a ghost. Take out your Bible if you would. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6, and let's pray before we begin. Father, we want to pray for anyone who is fearful that is watching this show, that you, Lord Jesus, will just enter into their fearful heart and show them that you're in control, you're their Savior, there is no need to fear. God, speak to us about this now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 45. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Here's the first lesson for today. Dismiss people to make room for God. Now that might sound harsh, but if Jesus did what the crowd wanted him to do all the time, he never would have had a chance to be alone with God. Sometimes you've got to say no to people to make room for God. Yes, we are to love people, but we are to love God more. I can think of two liberal ELCA Lutheran bishops who are promoting homosexuality in the Lutheran Church. Why are they doing that? Because their two sons are homosexual. No. That's called putting your family before God. And this story teaches there's one person you put in front of your family, and that is God. We say yes to God first. And, you know, so many people are into so many human relationships that they forget the reason we're on earth is to have a relationship with God. I can think of a Christian woman I know. She gets divorced and remarried 3 times. And I said to her in the process of this, you know, you don't have to be with someone. And she just said to me, I will not be alone. And my prayer for her during that time was, oh Lord, let her get alone with you so she knows that you are all she needs. Sometimes you say no to people to make room for God. Look at verse 47, Mark 6, 47. When evening came, the boat with the disciples was out on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And Jesus saw that they, the disciples, were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them? Here's the next lesson. The Bible doesn't explain everything. This is a strange verse. It just says he meant to pass them by. Where was he going? What does that mean? The Bible doesn't say, it just says it. So here's the point. Beware of preachers who have an answer for everything, especially on how the second coming and the end of the world is going to happen. Just, you know, somebody commented once, thank you, Pastor Tom, that sometimes on your TV show, on the radio show actually, he said, sometimes you say to our questions, I don't know. Thank you for doing that. My mother taught me to do that. And, you know, it's okay if we Christians say rather frequently, I don't know why God allowed that. I don't know what this means. Because Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians 13, now I know in part, then heaven I shall understand fully. So beware of people that have an answer for everything. And when you don't understand something in Scripture, an old pastor that I knew, he's gone to be with the Lord, but he said, when I read something in the Bible that I don't understand, I look at it, I study it, I try to understand it, but sometimes I just have to tip my hat to it, walk around it, and move on. Verse 49. But when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. Here's my next lesson. Ghosts don't exist. It says they thought it was a ghost, but it wasn't. Because here's what the Bible teaches. Follow this. Luke chapter 16 teaches when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. You don't come back to earth and walk around in graveyards or haunt houses. You don't show up at seances. You know, all that is not from God. Demons exist. Angels exist. But according to the Bible, when you die, you go to heaven or hell right then. Verse 50. For they all saw Jesus and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Be not afraid." Here's the huge lesson from this whole story. Conquer your fears by understanding it is I. It is Jesus. Let's say you find out you've got cancer. Or let's say you lose your job. Or maybe you lose a child. It will help you, and it's hard to do, but it will help you to say, Lord, help me understand that this is Jesus. For some reason he allowed this. And I'm going to claim Romans 8:28 over this. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. And God, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm going to claim in Romans 8:28, memorize it. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. I'm not saying that it'll take all the anxiety away, but it'll help knowing that God ultimately is in control. There was an article in the newspaper about a woman who is 113 years old. I don't know that she can talk anymore, so they interviewed her 89-year-old daughter, and she said this. When something bad would happen, Mom would always say, "Well, that's in God's hands." That's called Romans 8:28, that when you're going through horrible stuff, Romans 8:28, God causes all things, even this thing, to work together for my good. Verse 51. And Jesus got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Here's the next lesson. Jesus controls the weather. Up in a few verses earlier, he's walking on the water, and he's controlling gravity. Now, there's only one that I know of who controls gravity and who controls the weather. Who is that? God. Well, here Jesus is controlling gravity and the weather. Therefore, Jesus must be God. Someone called, Pastor Tom, I am a Christian Unitarian. Well, wait a minute. Unitarians don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe in the Trinity. Well, yeah, but where does it say in the Bible that you have to believe Jesus is God to be a Christian? I quoted Romans 10. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And then you share Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1, Ephesians chapter 2, these verses that talk about Jesus being God. But I could have just told them this story. Jesus is controlling gravity. He's controlling weather. Who does that kind of thing but God? Look at verse 52. The disciples did not understand about the loaves. Jesus just did the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. But their hearts were hardened. They don't quite know who Jesus is yet. Here's the next lesson. Faith in Jesus can be a process. You know, we just learned that Jesus was God. Do the disciples at this point, when they're in the boat, understand that in the boat with them is God, Jesus Christ? I don't think so. They didn't understand Jesus was God until after the resurrection, and Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." That's when they got it. Now, I had somebody who watches our TV show write me a letter, and Pastor Tom, you said on your show that the disciples didn't understand Jesus was God till after the resurrection, but Didn't Peter say to Jesus in Matthew 16, "You are the Son of the living God"? That's a great question. And the answer is, yes, they understood some sense, in some sense, Jesus was the Son of God. But did they understand Jesus as God himself? I don't think they got that till after the resurrection. In other words, faith in Jesus is a process. This happened to me. I was raised in the church. I've always believed Jesus is the Son of God. Then I'm 12 years old sitting in confirmation class. And the first thing the pastor teaches us is the Trinity. One God in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. My hand goes up. Pastor, I thought Jesus was the Son of God. That's true. But he's also God the Son, the second person equal and eternal with the Father and the Spirit. That's when the light bulb went on for me. And so my point is, having faith in Jesus can be a process. Verse 53. And when they had crossed over, they came to a land. They came to land the boat at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized Jesus and ran about the whole region. And they brought to him sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. Here's the next very obvious lesson: Jesus heals. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think you'll be struck by how often healing comes up. Jesus is so often healing people. And Christians, we need to be open in our churches to God doing miracles. So, I mean, the church that I serve, every Sunday we would say, if you need prayer for any reason, healing or whatever, come up after church and we'll have people up front praying for you. We need to do that. We need to be very open to healing. Having said that, we also need to be careful. I got in the mail some time ago a miracle prayer rug. Now, it's not really a rug. It was this piece of plastic stuck in this envelope, and you're supposed to lay out this piece of plastic and pray in the middle of the miracle prayer rug, and God will hear your prayers. We have to be open to healing, but we don't have to be gullible. I remember years ago in college, there was a movie called Marjo, a documentary about a preacher that went around healing people and raking people's money in, and he was very open in the documentary. He didn't believe any of it. And I think God is going to judge Marjo. So, you know, yes, there are phonies out there. However, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Christian healing is a real thing. It's all over the place in the New Testament. We need to be open to it. And I'll just say one more thing on this. Be careful where you give your money. Don't send money to somebody to send you miracle spring water from Jerusalem. Don't send money so somebody will send you their miracle hanky. And I have prayed and laid my hands on this hanky. And you will send it to you in the mail. And then you take that hanky and you lay it on your bodily part that's ailing. And the faith from my hand will go... Be careful where you give your money. I like to give money to a group that has the ECFA seal on it, Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That means that group is financially upright. Verse 56. And wherever Jesus came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Notice it doesn't say everybody was made well, but as many as touched him were made well. Here's the lesson from that. God wants you to know from where your healing comes. He wants you to know you're being saved by Jesus, by him. There is a heresy in the church today we've talked about before. The heresy is called universalism. Used to be that just the Unitarians taught universalism, that is, that everybody goes to heaven, there is no hell. But the Lutheran seminary that I went to, they have universalist teaching there. Many of the more liberal Protestant denominations teach everybody's going to heaven. The Pope of the Catholic Church said something about 2 months ago that sounded pretty universalistic. But what do we say to this? Well, so I turn on the radio and I listen to a Lutheran radio show called Grace Matters, and it's an ELCA Lutheran radio show, and the pastor teaches everybody, including Adolf Hitler, will be in heaven. So I found his address in Iowa and I wrote this national pastor on the radio and I said, tell me something. If everybody goes to heaven when they die, how come the early Christians died for Christ. They were thrown to the lions. I mean, if everybody goes to heaven anyway, why did the early Christians die for Christ? And I wrote him and I said, your teaching is eternally hurting people. I won't tell you the name of this church. I want to, but I won't. This is a large United Methodist church here in the Twin Cities. Years ago, it was a wonderful church. But the last 20 years or so, it has become heretical. Let me just put it that way. I knew it was going to be a bad church, but I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I visited this church a while ago, and let me just take you through the bulletin. On the cover is a weird poem toward God. You are the pure seer, pure awareness, the pure spirit, capital S, that impartially witnesses everything that arises. Your awareness is spacious, wide open, empty, and clear. Can you hear the sound of that bird singing? Then 100% of spirit, capital S, is present. It is spirit that sees through your eyes, speaks with your lips, hears with your ears. You know, this isn't Christianity. This is New Age pantheism, the teaching that everything is God. We are the spirit. No, we're not. Then you open up the bulletin to read the announcements. The first thing in their announcements is how they're a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender friendly church. That's important. It's right near the top. Or you can go to this Bible study, Paul, an appealing or appalling apostle. And they're going to study biblical scholar John Dominic Crossan, a heretic who was kicked out of the Catholic Church, about Paul, and my guess is they're going to dish Paul for being such a sexist. Then another Bible study of the book by Marcus Borg, who doesn't believe Jesus rose from the dead. And then there's a Bible study on the apprenticeship of a Quaker Buddhist shepherd. Huh? All right. Well, then the worst of all is on the back page. They're a church that believes in the 8 points of progressive Christianity. I'll just do two. Number one, we proclaim Jesus as our gate to the realm of God. Number two, we recognize the faithfulness of other people who have other names for the gateway of God's realm. In other words, Jesus works for us, but Buddha works, Muhammad works, you know, it all works. I'm leaving this church service, and here's some guy standing next to me, and I'm walking out, and I said to him, pretty liberal stuff. And he said, well, God loves everyone. Everyone is a child of God, whether you believe or not. And I said, no, we're not. The Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. My point is, from this story of Jesus walking on the water and people grabbing his hem, God wants you to know where your healing comes from. It doesn't come from Buddha. It doesn't come from the stars or the mountains or New Age pantheism. Your healing comes from Jesus. I want to close with one last point. Look back at verse 46. After Jesus had taken leave of the crowd, Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. So one last point, and this is maybe the most important point. Pray every day. If Jesus needed to pray, don't we need to pray? I mean, I have a plaque that's hung on my wall for many years, quoting Alfred Lord Tennyson, the great English poet. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. In other words, your prayers don't do less than you think. They do more than you think. And I'll close with a story. Here's a young man who lives in Indiana. He gets a job offer in Ohio, and he moves to Ohio. After being in his business in Ohio, a neighbor comes to visit him and is sorry by what he hears. The neighbor goes back home and says to his pious Christian parents, your son just, he swears and he cusses and takes the Lord's name in vain. I don't know what became of him. Well, the parents didn't say anything. So the neighbor came back the next day, thought they didn't quite understand, said it to him again, and the parents said, we understood you yesterday. We spent a sleepless night on our knees last night praying for our son. And by the time the dawn came, we had an assurance that God was going to make this right. And 2 weeks later, their son comes home to visit. And their son says, Mom and Dad, 2 weeks ago, I couldn't sleep at night. I woke up and I was feeling so guilty about the way I've been living. I've turned back to Christ and I'm following him again. They said, what night was that? It was the night they couldn't sleep and they were on their knees. Listen, your prayers don't do less than you think. Your prayers do more than you think. So take time every morning or evening, sometime during the day. Take time every day to pray. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions you have about the Bible. And we invite you to send those questions in. At the end of the program, you're going to see our website. You can post a question for Pastor Brock and we'll share it on another program. Pastor Brock, let's talk a little bit about some of the things you just talked about. Some preachers teach that sickness is from the devil. Now, are you teaching that sickness is from God and God only?
Well, let's talk about this. There are two verses that talk about sickness being from the devil. Actually, there's three. In the Old Testament, Job gets hit by all these horrible sores by the devil. But the devil first had to get permission from God's throne before he could touch Job. All right. Then you have, in the book of Acts, it says, Jesus went around doing good, healing those oppressed by the devil. And you also have, remember the lady that was bent over, and Jesus heals her, and Jesus says to the Pharisees, this daughter whom Satan has bound for 18 years. So the devil has a hand in disease. All right, does God cause disease or catastrophe? Moses is at the burning bush, and Moses says, God, I can't talk to these people. And God says, who makes man's mouth? Who makes man deaf, dumb, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? That verse teaches the Lord makes people blind. And then there's this verse from Deuteronomy, Jackie. I, even I am he. There is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. So is it God? If I'm sick, is that the devil doing that or is God doing that? It can be both at the same time. Remember in the book of Job, first three chapters, when the devil wanted to do something to Job, he always had to get permission first from God. So ultimately, God is in control. I like that. I don't want the devil to be in control of my problems. I want God ultimately to be in control.
But God is the ultimate healer.
Yes, he is.
Not the devil.
That's right. The devil never heals.
Right.
Okay. Unless he does fake miracles, but
all right.
That's a different subject.
So I guess the next question is, if you are sick, what should you do?
Okay.
Let's go through it.
I want to encourage people. Again, the Hope Lutheran Church, where you attend, where I served for 29 years, at the end of every service, we would say, if you need healing or prayers for your wandering daughter, come on up and we'll pray for you at the end of the service. And then if someone's sick, we do what James chapter 5 says. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, who will anoint the sick one with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man. And if he has committed sins, he will be healed. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. So, Jackie, I'm a cheap guy. I love going to garage sales because I'm cheap. And I've said this. Look, if I'm going to have to spend $5,000 or a doctor, first let me get the anointing with oil for free at my church. You know, and so I would encourage you, if you're sick, go to the elders of your church. If you don't have a church, you should be going to church every Sunday. Find a good Bible preaching church and say, elders, would you anoint me with oil according to James chapter 5? Some churches don't do that, so you call around till you can find a church that does.
Why do some churches do it and some don't?
I think some churches just don't believe in it anymore. Some churches think all the miracles stopped after the Bible was completed. But I think most churches still believe in miracles. But I think when I'm sick, I want to follow James chapter 5 to a T, because that's what we're told to do. Prayer by the elders, anointing with oil.
Okay, so if you don't believe in ghosts, how do you explain strange things happening, like in
haunted
houses?
Yeah.
Haunted houses?
Yeah. You know, Jackie, right now there's this big movie about, true story says, based on a Catholic exorcist couple that went to this house and had to cast things out. I don't doubt that kind of stuff happens. I just don't think they're ghosts. It's not Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe's in heaven or hell. But demons can inhabit a house. Demons can masquerade as a dead loved one. I mean, if you go to a seance and Uncle Joe from the dead is telling you things that only he knows, well, the devil knows things too. And I think it can be very deceptive that demonic spirits can be at work in seances. So Christians should not do seances.
Okay, that's what I was just going to ask you. Should Christians not be doing that?
Right.
All right. You also say Jesus is God because he can control the weather. Are there other things that Jesus did that God can do?
Yeah. There's two ways we know Jesus is God from the New Testament. First of all, by what he said, I and the Father are one. He claimed to be God in many different ways. So what he said shows he is God. But the second way we know he's God is by what he did. Jesus did things that only God can do. He forgave sins. The Pharisees got upset. Well, who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, that's who Jesus is. Again, they didn't understand that. He raised the dead. He walked on the water. He controlled gravity. He had power over demons and the devil. The only one that has ultimate power over Satan is God. So Jesus not only said that he was God, he also did things to demonstrate it.
So, Pastor Brock, what are some of the verses that teach that Jesus is God, if people want to jot those down?
If the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door teaching you Jesus is not God, you remember John 1, Hebrews 1, Colossians 1. All three of those chapters teach Jesus is God. You can also take them to John chapter 20, where Thomas says to Jesus, my Lord and my God. And Jesus doesn't say, whoa, Thomas, what a mistake you've made. He just accepts it and said, you should have believed it without seeing it. See, so Philippians 2, there's a number of verses.
Okay. Are those going to be on our website?
Actually, on our website, pastorstudy.org, there's a whole article I've written called Does the Bible Teach the Trinity? You can hit that button and you'll get all those verses.
Okay. And Pastor Brock, as long as we're talking about the Pastor Study, and the pastorstudy.org is our website, why don't you give an update on where we're at with our ministry?
I would love to. Thank you, Jackie. Everybody, we've been on Minneapolis TV for 25 years locally here. But the last 2 years, we have spent the money to be on national TV, on DirecTV and Dish Network. It's a lot of money to be on national TV, and unless the Lord does a miracle or two between now and the end of the year, we're going to have to get off our national network. So would you pray for us that, you know, we believe we've got an important message. Would you pray that the Lord would move people to give? And if you feel led, you go to pastorstudy.org. That's one way to do it. Our address is at the end, so you can write and send in that way. But pray for us. That's the main thing we ask, and do as the Lord leads.
And if you don't have national TV, remember that website, because you can go on there and see our programs and all the things that Tom has been talking about today. We want to thank you for being with us this week. We pray that God would be with you this week, granting you his richest blessings until we're all together again next time.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.